D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, as we are every Monday at 1 o'clock by our main man, Teron Davenport. Hello, Teron. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
So, training camp's a month from today, I want to say, July 23rd.
Yeah.
So we are nearing the start of training camp. So far, so close yet so far away. And I'm thinking about positions that the Titans could make additions to over the next month. I think a popular choice among Titans fans would be cornerback, depending on the situation regarding L'Jarius Sneed. Derek and I were talking about this last week. The free agent cornerback market, I would say, is fairly robust. There are a lot of well-known cornerbacks who are on the market. Now they all come with their own flaws. But I'm wondering if L'Jarius Sneed's status is up in the air. Are there any free agent cornerbacks, that you see who could be a fit for this team?
No, I don't see any that they need to look at or that would be a fit. And the thing you got to remember is Daryl Baker, he was a solid corner for them last year, you know, in the absence of Chidobe Awuzie and L'Jarius Sneed. So he wasn't really around as far as on the field. He was there, but he wasn't on the field during minicamp and OTAs. So that's somebody that will help bolster the cornerback group. And so in essence, it's like getting a guy because you're getting him back.
Yesterday, Teron, in the AFC South in Jacksonville, Travis Hunter signed his four-year contract with the Jaguars, the first non-quarterback not drafted first overall to get his signing bonus entirely up front. As you watch from afar, Travis Hunter with the Jacksonville Jaguars, ultimately, where do you see him making a bigger impact in his rookie season, on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball?
I think he's going to make an impact on both sides, honestly. I would probably say optically it'll be more on offense, because when you score touchdowns, like, that is more visible than anything else. But I think he's going to be a pretty solid corner. I just can't wait to see Alec Iomanner go down there and go against him. That's going to be fun, because you know what happened when Colorado and Stanford played. You know, he dropped 250+.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport. Teron, we had a conversation earlier in the show about cities with multiple teams in them, but that haven't won a championship. And obviously Buffalo here in Nashville, you got some other cities. But then we broke it down into teams. Basically, you're looking at the Buffalo Bills, Tennessee Titans, the Carolina Panthers, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Which one of these teams outside, because we know if you're just looking at it, the Buffalo Bills would be the team closest to a championship, right, that hasn't gotten one. Now, they have one in the old AFL days, but that's back then. We're talking about, you know, when the merger of the NFL. Which one of these teams outside of the Bills are closer to that goal? Is it Carolina? Is it the Titans? Or is it Jacksonville?
That's a good question. I think they're all kind of neck and neck. And you know what's really interesting about that, D-Mix? All three of them got number one picks as their quarterbacks. So I guess it's going to come down to that race and how they supplement it. I couldn't pick one over the other, honestly. They all three have their issues, but I mean, we're here in Nashville, so I'll say the Titans, but I mean, that's one of those things where you're picking the prettiest pick, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That, now, when you're looking at the Titans, obviously we know that, you know, the areas that they need to improve in, more specifically the offensive line and to pick up sacks. But what needs to happen outside of that for this team to really and truly compete, not just for the AFC South, because I think the AFC South is a gettable division, considering that the Houston Texans hasn't taken this huge leap. They've kind of taken a step back considering what they did two seasons ago. But how close do you think this team, you know, this Titans team, or what do you think needs to happen in order for all of this to come in place outside of the quarterback? Because we know the quarterback needs to play well, but what are some other things that need to happen?
I think the biggest thing is they need game changers, right? Mm-hmm. You look up and down the roster, you don't see someone. I mean, Simmons, they're going to game plan for him. But outside of Jeffrey Simmons, you don't really see anybody where it's like, okay, listen, this dude is a monster. We got to stop him. You don't really see that. And Calvin Ridley is a very good player. Don't get it twisted. But I just – they need more impact players that can literally change the game anytime they touch the football. And they don't have that.
Now, do you think the Titans were, because obviously Zaire Alexander signed with the Baltimore Ravens on a one-year deal, and he has dealt with some injuries there in Green Bay, but the Titans, meaning the Baltimore Ravens, thought highly enough to, even though the injuries, they went out and got him, because they do, in theory, have a stacked secondary, and he's just an added addition. But do you think the Titans even, do you think they were close to even bringing Zaire in to, you know, do a physical or anything else, or was he just a guy that was never on their radar?
No, he wasn't on the radar. I think you look at that whole match between he and the Ravens, mm-hmm. that was something that I think was going to happen. As soon as there was doubt that he would be back in Green Bay, Baltimore was the place. You know, he and Lamar Jackson, they went to school together. You know, you look at the mentality, the hands-on, aggressive approach that they have on defense. It's a perfect match, and that's what it was going to be. I tell you, interesting, the Titans were heavy on Quincy Riley out of Louisville, who is very similar to Jai Alexander. So the skill set, I think they believe fits, but I just don't know that the veteran and the price tag and the unreliability really matched.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, as you take a look at the defensive end market, this is something I think we're all curious about with T.J. Watt and Hendrickson in Cincinnati. How do you see that panning out? Do you think it will get resolved? They've got time, right? But these are sort of things you're wondering about, the changing of the market. And I guess where I'm going with that is, as I look down the road, you certainly hope that Jeffrey Simmons is a guy that you could keep around and is productive enough, but you have to weigh this, right? How the market's changing for defensive high-end defensive linemen, and then even maybe down the road to Vondre Sweat.
Yeah, I mean, I think the market for Sweat and Simmons is different from the market for Watt and Hendrickson.
Right, these inside as opposed to outside.
Edge rushers.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's going to be different. But, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a point in time where Devondre Sweat is probably going to earn a good contract. And really it comes down to the timing, right? And if this team is winning and these guys make big-time plays and going down the stretch and in the postseason, they're going to get paid accordingly. Look at Milton Williams, right? That guy from the Eagles, he made plays in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. You saw it with he and Andre Carter. You saw it with Jalen Carter, rather. You saw what they did, and he got paid accordingly. So it's all about timing, but they're going to have to figure some things out. So I think both of those guys are going to go ahead and warrant you know, good salaries. And then on top of that, imagine if Femi Oladejo comes through the way they believe he does. So that's going to be something else.
So are you getting pretty good vibes on him? I know there's only so much that we can say. We've even had some fun looking back through the years about people we had a good feeling on. It didn't really turn out very well. But you seem to be picking up some good optimism with him.
I am. And the thing that I like is the approach, right? I was very curious how they were going to do it because – I have a really good relationship with Brandon Graham. And I remember when he got to Philly, you know, he was this big-time prospect. They felt he was going to be a double-digit sack guy, everything like that. He had all the gifts, et cetera. And they asked him to drop back in covers. He had to do, you know, read more keys. And, you know, he couldn't just rush the passer. So it took him a little bit. But then 2016, Jim Schwartz got there and he's like, hey, man, just go get the quarterback. And that's when he started to blossom. So I was curious, okay, are they going to – what approach are they going to have with Oladejo? Because not only is he, you know, shifting positions, he's brand new at it. Like, 10 games in at it. But the thing that Femi told me that was really interesting, and I didn't even think about it, as a middle linebacker, you're used to seeing all the field. You're used to having all these things go on at once and having to do all these things and process all these things. So that should allow him to be able to have, although the viewpoint is different, to have a similar approach as an outside linebacker. Then on top of that, Denard Wilson, when I asked him about that, he was like, hey, man, we want to throw the sink at him, see what sticks, and whatever sticks, we'll go ahead and emphasize. So I think the approach is right.
Teron, we're looking around, like, we had a great discussion. I think we hit on it a little bit earlier about how close Buffalo has been, et cetera. As you look at the division, where would you put Houston right now, knowing that you got Buffalo? We know we got KC. We know you got Baltimore, mm-hmm. right? It's been the same group for the last 2, 3, 4 years. Is Houston, who maybe I think arguably took a little bit of a step back last year, still won the division, where do you think they are in the grand scheme of winning the AFC?
Houston to me is fourth, right? Houston is fourth. I think you have close between the top three, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Baltimore. But, man, watch out for those Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to do something this year. And you know what? I'll go ahead and say it. The Ravens are my pick to win it all this year.
Okay.
I think that's the team. Yeah, but you got Houston. They're still very talented.
So you put Houston fourth. You like Houston fourth after those three.
Right, and as I was saying, you got the two pass rushers. You got a legit quarterback. Nico Collins is continuing to ascend. They're a good team.
Now, quickly before we get you out of here, TD, I had a question about the inside backer position, because right now they have Cody Barton starting at the inside backer. Where does Cedric Gray fit in this? Because it's not like Cody Barton is this all-world player. Is he a good player, solid player? Yes.
Yeah.
But they're going to need more out of this linebacker position, in particular that inside linebacker position. So where does Cedric Gray fit in this?
Yeah, I love Cedric Gray's game. He's fun to watch. You go back and watch him at UNC. But right now, the way that they were doing it mostly was Cody Barton at Mike, James Williams at Will. And then when they bring Cedric Gray in, Barton bounces over to Will, and Gray is the mic. So that's kind of how it looks. But I think it's going to be a rotation. You can't forget Otis Reese, who's dealing, I believe it's an ankle he's dealing with, lingering from last year. So, you know, you got those guys that they'll all rotate in. And look, man, you go back and look at the end of the year, Otis Reese was making some plays. Mm-hmm. But, man, so was James Williams, you know, and even Cedric Gray. So they got a nice group of young players.
Teron, we lied. I have one more question for you. We discussed this a little bit last week, and I'd be curious for your opinion. So every year, well, seemingly every year, it did not happen this past season, there is a team that goes from worst in its division to first in its division. It happens a lot. The Titans find themselves in that situation again this season, along with the Bears, the Browns, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Saints, the Giants, and the 49ers. So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Willie and Derek last week. Of those eight teams, which one or ones are you most confident that the Titans have better odds of finishing worst to first than?
Oh, okay. You flipped the question. All
yes.
right. I would say they have better chances than the Giants. So it was the Titans, Giants, 49ers, Bears, Saints, you said?
Bears, Browns, Raiders, Patriots, Saints, Giants, Niners, Titans.
So they got better chances than the Raiders.
You think, even with Geno Smith at quarterback?
Better chances than the Raiders.
Okay.
You know who's that quarterback for Kansas City?
That is true. That is true.
I would say the Browns.
Okay.
Because I believe the Ravens, and you always got to count the Bengals in there. So I would say all teams except for the Saints and 49ers, frankly.
Do you say that because and this was I think the reason why we chose some teams over others because of the division they're in. When you have to, when you're the Raiders, yeah, they may be good. Pete Carroll has proven he's a championship head coach. Geno Smith has proven that he's a damn good quarterback in this league, but they're in a division with the Chiefs, the Chargers, and then obviously themselves. So and then Denver, who's an up-and-coming team as well. So it's more so because of who's in your division than you as a team.
That's a very big factor, very big factor. And you look at the, you know, NFC South, it is what it is. Hey, it's a free-for-all, you know. So that's why I give the Saints a chance. And then you also, you look at the, the 49ers are the 49ers. They're still ultra-talented. Injuries and a bunch of stuff piled up on them last year. So those teams. But, I mean, like I said, the Giants, you got the Eagles and Cowboys, you know, and the Commanders. Don't forget about the Commanders with Jaden Daniels. And then you look at, you know, the Browns, like I said, you got the Steelers even. But more importantly, the Ravens and Bengals. It's best-case scenario for the Titans when you're going against, you know, the Texans and those other teams in the division. It's better for them than pretty much all the other bottom dwellers.
Quickly, Teron, are you buying the Patriots hype? There seems to be a ton around the Patriots this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that depends on Stephon Diggs. Like the defense is solid. You know it's going to be good under Terrell Williams and Mike Vrabel and them, but I want to see what the offense does. That's really the big thing. Do they have a playmaker like Stephon Diggs? Can he be that guy?
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us as he does every Monday on D-Maze, Fing, and Adonik. Teron, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
All right, appreciate it. Let's go Mets.
Gotta get out of this funk, TD. What's going on? Jeez. Let's get going.
No better day than the day.
That's right. It's a new day.
Thanks, Teron.
All right.
Braves at Mets this evening.
Yes. It was not a pretty trip to Atlanta. Just like a lot of previous nightmares that the Predators, the Mets have had there. But it's a new day. Let's go.
615-737-1025. There was a gigantic trade in the NBA over the weekend. Well, it was reported that there's going to be a trade. It cannot be finalized, but we all know it's going to happen. And I have a question about Kevin Durant. I was thinking about this yesterday as I was reading all of the coverage of the trade, Kevin Durant going from the Suns to the Rockets. And I want to ask all of you and Willie and Derek this question. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.
I'm ecstatic. I'm ecstatic for the Houston Rockets. I'm ecstatic for him because I think he's back in the championship equation. We keep forgetting that because of the lack of success that the Phoenix Suns have enjoyed and he has enjoyed over the last several years, it is one of the greatest players to have ever played the game. He's instant offense, and in his 30s, just like he did in his 20s, still averaging 27 a game, still shooting over 50% from the field, still shooting nearly 40% from three-point range, nearly 90% from the free throw line. He is instant offense. He's 7 feet with a 7'6 wingspan with ball handling skills, a mid-range game, a three-point shot. He can finish in the open court. He can do it all, and he's a bona fide number one option. So any team would love to have that. But if you're the Houston Rockets, you especially were desperate for that because you know that you're exceptionally well coached. You know that you have a lot of good players. You have a young star in Amen Thompson who can do some things. You've got a champion in Fred VanVleet. But what you were lacking was that bona fide number one scoring option. That when all things fell apart, you can hand them the ball and say, take me there. Kevin Durant is that kind of player, and the Houston Rockets know it, and that's why they gave up a Jalen Green, a Dylan Brooks, captured the number 10 overall pick along with 5 second-round picks, because this brother is worth it.
That was Stephen A. Smith reacting to the Kevin Durant trade yesterday. I love NBA trades. The Suns agreed on a blockbuster trade, sending Kevin Durant to the Houston Rockets for Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10 pick in this year's draft, and five second-round picks. I love how NBA teams just throw around picks like candy.
Especially
five.
The second-round picks.
Yes.
It's so crazy.
Hey, they needed it. And Stephen A. was right. If you've watched the Houston Rockets in particular, this NBA Finals, they had a hard time scoring when they needed to. They end up losing their series against Golden State. It took them seven, but they couldn't, when they needed a bucket, they needed somebody to have a, they just couldn't do it. They were having trouble scoring against the Golden State Warriors. And by making the move to get Kevin Durant, I think it automatically puts them, you know, at least in the West as a top five team, considering, you know, the head coach and the young talent that they have on his team. And listen, I don't think them getting Kevin Durant is going to catapult them to a NBA championship, but they can make trades, you know, during the season that could help that. But right now, as they sit, I think they still got to go through, I think, the Nuggets. They still have to go through, obviously, you got to go through Oklahoma. You still got to go through the Timberwolves. Who else is out there? I don't know how the Grizzlies are going to be this year. You know, you still got the Clippers.
You'll see with the Mavericks.
The Mavericks. So you still – and the Lakers. I mean, I don't know how that team's going to look back. They said Luka is in much better health. He looks a lot thinner. So they have – Houston has a lot of teams that they have to get through, even though I still believe they are a top five team when you're talking about the West. But to get through those other four teams, you're going to need somebody like a Kevin Durant.
Here's my question. And this is what I was thinking about as I was reading all of the coverage of this trade and a lot of trade grades, and the Houston Rockets got high marks for this deal. And I was thinking about Kevin Durant specifically. Tell me if you think this is crazy. Is there a player in sports who has a bigger gap between his superstar status and his public perception than Kevin Durant? Because undoubtedly, Kevin Durant is a superstar. He's been an MVP. He's won two NBA titles, and he was the finals MVP of both of those championships. He's a four-time scoring champion. Future Hall of Famer. Absolutely, yeah. No doubt.
And I think the Olympic performance last summer
that
was very showcased.
That as well.
How great he was and how important he was in that.
But there's this perception of Durant that he's a mercenary, that he can't win.
He definitely has changed teams a lot.
Yeah.
Of course, LeBron has
without
as well.
Steph Curry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's been traded, I think, three times since leaving Golden State.
He loves Twitter. He has a burner.
Yes, that plays into it as well. The super team in Brooklyn didn't work. The super team in Phoenix didn't work. Not saying that it was his fault that those teams didn't work. But I'm wondering if there is an athlete in sports where there is a bigger gap between his superstar status and his public perception.
Whew, man. Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, he may be, you know, that guy.
I'm sure there are a lot of quarterbacks on this
list.
Yeah,
but
I'm
if you're just talking about the NBA, yeah, I guess he would top the list in regards to what, you know, that question. Kevin Durant, it's interesting with Kevin Durant because people look at him and, for one, they said that team in OKC. There's no way that team shouldn't have won a championship.
The one with Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
They
did go to the finals.
They went to the finals.
Right.
But it was like,
remember, that was kind of the rise of the Warriors.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't have that greatness, mm-hmm. that's always a really unanswerable question mm-hmm. in some ways, but a great debate is who did you lose to, right?
Exactly.
Did you just lose to a random teams that you should have beat? I mean, they were running up against the Warriors in a couple of years.
The year that they went to the championship was against the Heat.
Yeah, they lost to the Heat.
Another really good team, obviously.
Yeah, but then you look at Kevin Durant, it's okay. After he leaves OKC, then, you know, he goes to Golden State Warriors, and he is the best player on the Golden State Warriors.
He won the finals MVP
yes.
both years
exactly.
he was on the championship-winning Warriors, but he joined that team, I believe, the year after
they
the
won
Warriors
a championship.
Went 73-9.
Exactly.
Yes.
And he enhanced. It's crazy. You go 73-9, you go to that team, and you're the best player on that team.
Right, but people see Durant as he had to piggyback off of
yeah.
Curry and Thompson. He couldn't win the title without him.
And then he goes to New Jersey. And he's one three-point. He's a toe away from going to the NBA Finals.
That is true.
A toe away from going to the NBA Finals. He hits what we thought was a three, ends up being two. They lost in overtime. So it's just interesting with Kevin Durant because as good as he is, as great of a shooter he is, he travels. He He wears a backpack. He doesn't have any. He doesn't have a home. He carries around a suitcase because he goes from one team to the next, to the next, to the next. And I don't know if it's because the teams actually want to let him go, or is it because they know they're not going to win a championship with him right now, and they just want to get assets and send him somewhere else. Because as good as Houston is, and they needed Kevin Durant, is he going to win a championship in Houston?
I was thinking about this because I don't know their roster that well. Lay out their top three guys. Like, it's Durant, and who are their other guys?
Grant Van Vliet.
Amen Thompson.
Yeah, Amen Thompson, and that's really about it.
So they don't have another, you know, established star alongside.
Not him. Somebody of now. Van Vliet is a
He's a really good player.
He's a really good player. He's a championship winning player.
Star.
Yeah, he's not a star player.
Really, really good.
So they don't have anybody of Kevin Durant's caliber. Let's just say that.
No, he gives them that edge. But to your earlier point, Derek, Kevin Durant is sort of the poster child, or at least one of the poster children of the player empowerment era. You know, he has worked his way to different teams, be it Brooklyn, Washington, Golden State, Brooklyn, Phoenix. And again, I don't lay the blame for Brooklyn's and Phoenix's failures on Kevin Durant. The mix in Phoenix was just off. Like, yeah, Devin Booker, yeah. Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and the whole James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant experiment in Brooklyn went horribly wrong.
Okay, so let's bring this up because we're talking about Durant here, Durant over here. We're looking at different eras, right? Uh-huh. Different sections of his career. I think it underscores a point that we bring up from time to time. When you're talking about the greatest of all time, there is a boost that you get if you did it all for one team. Is that fair? Do we agree?
No,
on
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And LeBron is, you know, that's maybe a little mini part of the argument of LeBron versus Michael Jordan is LeBron has changed addresses a few times despite all of his greatness. And of course, he's set himself up to almost control where he goes, which is sort of a new wave that maybe Michael Jordan didn't exercise as much, even though he probably could have leveraged it. He's used the leverage, but he never actually changed teams until after he retired, right? But I think in general, and I'm wondering this too with Connor McDavid for hockey, because he's in a position now where he could choose to sort of go the LeBron route, set up deals that give him maybe short-term leverage, maybe not sign the 7-year deal that so many guys do. But what he will be faced with is, does he want to stay in one place his whole career and get that extra boost that you get if you're leading, you know, the team that drafted you and you took them all the way to the top? That does give you a little extra boost.
Well, that's why it was
with
important.
With how you remember.
Yeah, that's why it was important for LeBron to go back to Cleveland and win a championship in Cleveland because it changes, you know, it changes the narrative with him, at least in Cleveland, because now he can say, I brought a championship, as I promised, to the city of Cleveland. But Durant is just, it's different with him. For whatever reason, he's found himself one of the, you know, outside of Steph Curry, the second most deadliest shooter in the NBA. But unlike Steph Curry, he's changed teams over and over and over again, and you wonder
Steph
if
is a great example.
Is this it for Kevin Durant as far as him changing teams? Because he's what, 35?
He's pushing 40.
This 35? Will be his 18th year in the league. And so Kevin Durant is
36. He'll be 37 in
September.
But
he was what, fourth or fifth in scoring? His efficiency is the best in the NBA when you're talking about
his
shooting
his
inside
stats
twos.
Are so consistent. I'm looking at his stats. Every year, it's almost exactly the same.
He's a bucket. He's the walking bucket. That's what he is.
He has averaged at least 25 points, 50% field goal shooting, and 40% three-point shooting in three straight seasons, the longest streak ever in the NBA.
Yeah, so he's still the best. He's a better shooter than Steph over the last three seasons.
But don't you think it was telling last summer?
Steph's been hurt. So
in the Olympics, mm-hmm. in it was telling that despite having Steph, we know Steph hit the shot at the end, right?
Steph killed it at the end, the last game.
But
yeah,
throughout the tournament, there were a lot of games where it was like Durant was the main.
Yes.
He was the guy that they were feeding. Not LeBron, not Steph. Durant had the ability to get the shot off. Like he was seen to me a little bit in a different light. I was like, wow, of all these great players, Durant might be the guy that is the number one option.
I think he's a better scorer than shooter. Scorer is way different than shooter because he's a three-level scorer where he can go with a layup, he can hit a mid-range, and he can hit the three-point shot. Steph's a better shooter, but KD's a better scorer.
That's a fair argument. Mm-hmm.
I just think that with everything we've already discussed, the numbers, it's a Hall of Fame resume. He's an outstanding player. But again, I just feel like there's this perception of him that he's
not quite the same.
Right. He's a hired gun and that he can't and he can't win without a talented roster around him. So I just got me thinking. One texter, Caleb, said to answer my question about superstar status versus public perception, mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is an interesting one because Aaron Rodgers has been highly successful. Now, some of that, like Kevin Durant, is his own doing, the public perception, the things he has said on the Pat McAfee show and all of those sorts of things. But, like, I just think that Durant, for whatever reason, the success that he's had, which is putting it lightly because he's been incredibly successful, it's like, yeah, well, you know, he can't do it on his own. You know, that sort of thing. Like, I'm wondering.
Can anybody do it on their own?
No.
No. But it feels like it's a knock. I feel. Do you hear that same knock about LeBron James? If it is, it's not as loud as it is with Kevin Durant, I feel like.
I think that it was.
You used to
I think
hear
it was, but now it's because of his greatness, because of what he's accomplished, the scoring title, everything, the longevity, everything. It's sort of. It mutes that old conversation that we used to have about LeBron, like, oh, he left this team and nah. But because Kevin Durant hasn't accomplished what LeBron has outside of the championships, there's nothing to sort of squash, you know, him being like this hired for gun. Like, he can't win unless he has these guys with him. Well, LeBron has shown throughout his career, like, I can win anywhere. I'm going to win anywhere I go. Why? Because I won a championship in Cleveland. I won a championship with the Lakers. I won a championship in Miami. So no matter where I go, I'm going to win a championship. Unless it's like now where he's basically conceded because now he's brought up the whole ring thing. But that's why. Because his accolades do not come close to what LeBron has accomplished in his career.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts. Is there a player in sports who has a bigger gap between superstar status and public perception than Kevin Durant? We'll ask Jared Stillman when he joins us coming up next. By the way, I just have to point this out. Here's some Mets-related news. I've learned, Willie, that they have a player by the name of Dickie Lovelady.
Come again?
What?
His name is Richard. He goes by Dickie. D-I-C-K-Y, Love Lady, one word, L-O-V-E-L-A-D-Y.
Dickie Love Lady.
Dickie Love Lady.
Has he been called up to the big leagues?
He has been signed and called up to the big leagues.
I can't wait to see the poster boards of that name.
I feel like I know the Mets backwards and forwards. I've never heard of this guy.
Dickie Love Lady.
Oh, my goodness.
He must be good.
Yeah, I guess so.
I hope he is.
If you type him into Google, it says Richard Love Lady. Dickie Lovelady. Sounds like a character in a Mike Myers film.
I was going to say, you know, was he in Boogie Nights? I don't
know. He said Boogie Nights.
Old school,
yes.
I don't know if I can recommend it to everybody I know.
No,
but
you can't.
Movie.
Move over, Dirk Dinkler. It's time for Dickie Lovelady. 615-737-1025. Jared Stillman will join us next. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Stillman and Company coming up next. And as we do, when he's not big-timing us on Sirius XM, we are joined by Jared Stillman. And Jared, I would be curious for your answer to this question. We were just talking.
Hold on. If I'm big-timing you guys on Sirius XM, what is it when Willie is off getting ready for the Winnipeg Jets, Nashville Predators big game on February 13th and walking those underground tunnels in Winnipeg.
I guess that's also big timing us.
Okay.
But he's had that job forever. So it's really it's really, he's had that job. How long has it been, Willie?
We're going double digit years now.
Double digit years, man.
You know, the people in the car at this time, maybe compared to a couple hours ago, are different. But I laughed my ass off. I was working out and I was listening to you guys. And Adam brought up the Mikhail Granlin theory of Jared Stillman on other players. If I don't know who they are on another team, then they suck. And Willie just said, well, you know, instead of knowing all the other players, we just assume. Willie, I got to tell you, Noah Dobson. I don't really know him.
That exposes you a little bit. That exposes you a little bit.
Okay. Well,
and Jared, I gave you props. You're not a lazy host. And
I appreciate that.
You're not a lazy media person. Some are on a, you know, there's a spectrum anywhere you go in any line of work.
You're not playing solitaire while you're on the air.
But I will tell you that you should learn about Noah Dobson.
By the way, I have gotten into solitaire.
When you get 70 points, that's
that.
Pretty good.
Uh-huh.
So you're playing solitaire?
Well, I just kind of have forgotten about solitaire as a game in general. And I just Googled solitaire, and you could just, like, play it, like, right in the web browser on your phone. Mm-hmm. And I now find myself, like, when I'm bored, just sitting there playing solitaire, being like, man, I really need a red 7 right now.
I miss Minesweeper. Remember Minesweeper?
You can play that. Oh. Just search it. You can play it.
Okay. Good to know. So we were talking about the Kevin Durant trade that was broken yesterday. And I'd be curious for your opinion on this, because I'm not sure there is a player in sports who has a bigger gap between his superstar status and his public perception than Kevin Durant, because the numbers bear out that Kevin Durant is a superstar. He will be in the Basketball Hall of Fame one day. But there's this I just feel like there's a lot of bad vibes with Kevin Durant. He's a mercenary. He can't win without Steph and Clay. He moves around super team to super team. A lot of them haven't worked, even if it's not his fault. I'm wondering if you think there's a player who could rival Durant in my mind in that category.
Don't forget about Draymond Green, man. Come on now.
Okay.
We'll forget about Draymond Green. But what, I mean, so the way I look at it with Durant is this. Kevin Durant was a superstar who hadn't won one. And then when he went to Golden State, he joined a team that had already won a championship before he got there. And then they won a championship after he left. So to me, he doesn't really get credit for those championships, even though, like, the basketball heads, I'm sure Derek, and I didn't hear you guys talk about this, I'm sure Derek's going to argue that Durant was the best player on those teams.
He did win Finals MVP both years.
He was and the best player
Steph,
on those teams.
Steph and Draymond said he was the best player on the team.
Oh, okay.
Nah, I'm just telling what they said.
That's great. They won 71 games
but don't
or whatever
to them.
It is.
Yeah, don't listen to them.
Don't sell them short. They won 73.
73 games without him. You know, it's like, great. So I would say that's why he had to leave the first time, was because he realized he wasn't getting any credit for these championships. So he went and formed his own super team, and his own super team didn't win anything. And, you know, it was a disaster in Brooklyn with Harden and Kyrie. And so I think that's kind of, then he goes to Phoenix, who had been to the finals. And they don't even make the playoffs this past year. So I think Kevin Durant's got a lot of proving to do. What I think is fascinating is the McDavid thing, because Connor McDavid was asked, you know, hey, again, it was a long-winded question, but I think you guys know as well as I do. The question was, are you going to sign an extension here?
Yes.
Yes.
And it kind of feels like the answer was, we'll see, you know, when it comes to McDavid and Edmonton and everything. I think it's in the best interest of the NHL that Connor McDavid leave Edmonton. These TV ratings were garbage for the Cup final, and they shouldn't have been, because this was a great team versus a great player. And if McDavid was on the Rangers or the Blackhawks or even the Dallas Stars, I have to feel like the TV ratings and the interest in America would be better. But at the same time, we dog Kevin Durant for getting right there with OKC and not winning the championship and then fleeing and going somewhere else. Would we do the same thing to McDavid? We dogged LeBron for going to Miami and doing that. So would we do that to McDavid if he were to go to Dallas and team up with Rantanen? And I know Jamie Benn's kind of older at this point, but Ottinger and Haskinen and those guys. So that's something I've been thinking about, which is, you know, we're going to dog LeBron. And I liked LeBron in Cleveland. I did not like LeBron in Miami. I liked Kevin Durant in OKC. I did not like Kevin Durant in Golden State. But are we going to do the same with McDavid if he leaves, or are we going to look at it and say, hey, he's doing what's in the best interest of hockey by getting out of Edmonton and going somewhere else that more people in America will watch him play?
Yeah, we just got done with a discussion of you seem to get a little extra boost when you stay in one spot and get it done for that thing. I introduced this too, Jared, about McDavid and the extension, because for those that don't know, he's going into the last year of his contract. So they are going to go with him all the way, all in this summer of, can we get you to commit? Elliot Friedman has brought up this. What if you did a little bit of, now he didn't use LeBron, but he talked about just to sort of dictate where you can go and your options of getting out, not going the full 7 years, which we see with a lot of stars, and just taking all of the guaranteed money, as much as they'll throw at you, or just do a little bit LeBron, couple-year extension. So you're staying, but you're staying with a little bit of a bullet of, I'm staying, but the clock's ticking. We got to make sure we win here, or else I am going to test the waters and go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything's open on the McDavid front. I think this is so big with McDavid that it's like I can see both sides of this. I can see McDavid saying, hey, I want to do whatever it takes to win, and I don't think I can win here in Edmonton. And I can see Edmonton saying, what else do you want us to do? We paid Draisaitl. We trade. We spend up to the cap every year. We've traded every draft pick we have. We hired your junior coach to be our head coach. We hired your agent to be the president. Like, what else can we do for you to make you want to stay here? And I can see McDavid saying, hey, I mean, here in Edmonton, we're not winning, and Edmonton kind of sucks as a city, and I'm getting taxed at the Canadian tax rate, and yeah. Nobody in America is watching me play hockey, which is a travesty because I'm so good. I mean, I can see every angle of this Connor McDavid
thing. And if you get this vibe, if you're Edmonton, do you say, well, should we explore trading him? Can you imagine what that would do? We just saw Kevin Durant get traded. What would a
Jared and I were
trade for McDavid look like?
Jared Holy and cow. I were talking about this amongst ourselves over the weekend. And I said, it's going to have to be as close to an NBA-style trade as you could possibly get in the NHL.
It would be kind of like the Luka trade, in a sense.
I can't even fathom what that trade would look like.
And especially with the rigidity of the collective bargaining agreement in hockey, where it's in basketball, it's a little easier to throw together a bunch of things because you have a little flexibility.
It's right? A luxury tax in the NBA, right? Or no?
Well, also in the NHL, every good player who's not on their entry-level contract has some sort of trade protection, and they're all going to waive it, or they're all going to use it to not go to Edmonton. Like, that's... Like, I'm going to Edmonton. Well, do I get to play with McDavid? Oh, no, I'm getting traded for McDavid. Yeah, no, thank you.
You do get to play with Leon Draisaitl, however. So.
Pass. This is like, so Adam and I like mocked up a couple of trades. You know, I want to say Pierre LeBron put out a piece at The Athletic where he talked about, and it was funny because the teams Pierre's thinking about are the same teams I'm thinking about, which the Rangers are the first team everybody assumes, the Kings, because Gretzky did that. But the two that stand out to me, and I hate to say it, is Chicago and Dallas. And in the case of Chicago, Adam and I were talking, I'm like, you have to start with Bedard as part of the deal going back to Edmonton, but Bedard is not the player 2 years into his career that McDavid was. And then on the other side of it was Dallas. And Adam, what was the package that we worked up? What was it? Wyatt Johnston.
You said Wyatt Johnston,
Thomas Harley,
Jason Robertson, Maverick Bork, and picks on top of that, I think.
I mean, isn't that kind of what you would think the asking price from McDavid would be?
The Mikko Rantanen trade, the second one, the one from Carolina to Dallas, was Logan Stankoven, who's a early 20-something forward, and I believe four draft picks, two firsts. So if that's Rantanen, you have to multiply that by I don't know how much for McDavid. So I do want to ask you
It's so rare that a guy that great gets traded.
I do want to ask you this quickly, Jared. I know that you have dogged the NBA, but I saw this tweet from Richard Deitch within the past hour that he's hearing that Game 7 of the NBA Finals topped 16 million viewers. I know that you were tuned in last night. What did you think of Game 7?
I said this when you guys thought I was big-timing you on Friday on SiriusXM. I said, is Game 7 enough to get the Barry Stillmans of the world to watch? I'm not sure my dad watched a single game of the NBA Finals up until Game 7. He watched Game 7 last night.
Okay, so that's one. The other litmus test will be Chris Mason, who is also, for as big of an athlete and sports person as he has no interest in any form of basketball other than if his daughter is playing or his son
Does
is playing.
Does Red Deer have a team?
I don't think Red Deer's got a squad. Okay. We could not coax. We had a broadcaster's get together at the Gill residence last night, which is not far from the Stillman residence, I don't believe. So, but we couldn't get Chris Mason to come. Couldn't get
him. He didn't want to watch basketball?
He didn't.
What is his deal with basketball?
Not even with his people.
I believe the Gill residence is in the neighborhood next to mine, which is slightly higher end than my neighborhood, if I had to guess.
He's in a nice spot.
But I know that you have fallen in love, for lack of a better term, with Tyrese Halliburton during these NBA playoffs.
I will say this about... I think that, first of all, did all of us know when we saw?
Yes.
Like, of course you knew
what
it was.
We all knew what it was.
Instantaneously. Yeah. Instantaneously. Oh,
yeah. Think about how far we've come with the calf strain in like the last 5 years. You know, with Durant and his situation and this with Halliburton, that now, like, let's say Cam Ward has a mild calf strain. I don't know about you guys. I'm going to be like, sit him. I mean, we do not need to see Cam Ward out on the field with a calf strain until that calf is 100%. And I'm not sure last year people would have felt that way.
It is unfortunate. It was an unfortunate ending because he was on fire to start that game. And we were robbed, I think.
Didn't it feel like it was going to be a showdown between him and SGA last night?
It absolutely did in the beginning of the game. And we were robbed of what I thought could be a great Game 7. But that'll do it for us today. Jared will pick it up from here. Stillman & Company coming up next.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Monday. Peace.